So I started with Hans Fibusch. We've now looked at Luke as an author. And I want us now to try an imaginative exercise. What was the passionate excitement that gripped John the Baptist himself? We've seen what led Hans Fibusch to begin a new phase in his own artistic development. We have seen Luke as a doctor who's now become an author doing the same. But when John stepped out into the wilderness, what was going on in his soul? What was the passionate excitement that drove him? So I'm going to return to Hans Fibusch again. He wrote in 1946, note the date, he wrote about the art of mural painting, and I quote, "The war can only be painted by those who are in the thick of it, and even then, they will have to let the overwhelming experience settle down for a number of years before they can begin to shape it." Now, if Hans Fibusch is right about the time that is required for art to come into being, then we can assume, I think, that John the Baptist went through his own agonizing, his own internal psychological struggles for some years. I suspect he endured a theological blitzkrieg in which old things were obliterated and out of the rubble gradually emerged the conclusion that he was the one called to be the forerunner. That inner journey over a number of years must have caused him to question his own abilities, to question his own beliefs, to question his own inner well-being, to wrestle with doubts and terrors. Some have suggested that John might well have been associated with the Essene community near the Dead Sea, and perhaps it was there that the inner turmoil began. Perhaps it was there that the turning point came when he left that community and walked out into the wilderness. In truth, we don't know. That can only be surmised. What we do know is that great art, whether that be in the visual arts, or in writing, or in rhetoric and proclamation, is never, ever an easy or straightforward path to follow. Why? Because at the center of it is a titanic struggle between the original idea and the resistance of the materials that the artist works with. Whether those materials be clay, or ink and vellum, or the composition of a public declaration. Words, for those of us who use them in our work, can feel like damp, recalcitrant, and unformed clay. And the words need to be hammered and molded and caressed into shape. And even then, at the end of the struggle comes a moment when you feel you have failed. The gap between idea and reality has not been completely or satisfactorily bridged, at least not from the human perspective. It's all very fragile. Peter Walker, when he was Bishop of Ely, wrote this about Hans Fibusch's work. "What do I see? if it is not the tenderness felt by an artist for a world of beauty, a world in which human tenderness itself is as fragile as the flowers, but touched, if the Christian message is true, touched with the glow of God's love upon it and God's yes to it. So suppose that that is true. Suppose Hans Feibusch and St. Luke and John the Baptist, as artists in their human fragility, have been caught in the eternal glow of God's love, each of them struggling to express the truths of boundless eternity within the confines of time, and struggling endlessly with the recalcitrance of their materials, what then? Well, suppose that what is true for artists is true for each one of us, whatever our work or occupation may be. Aren't we each called to live in such a way that even in our apparent failures, we can sense the glow of God's gentle and compassionate love upon us? But here's the paradox. Whilst we all may have much in common with artists, aren't we in truth also the recalcitrant material which, by grace and in Jesus Christ, God continuously transforms? And if that is true, for that great, great, unspeakable gift, we whisper our alleluias of thanksgiving. Amen.